I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. If you were here last week, you remember that I started off with this question. Are you ready? And I'm going to ask it again this week. Are you ready? That's what our readings are asking us. That's what Advent is all about, is waiting and being ready. We're waiting, of course, to celebrate Jesus' birth and the first time he came. But we're also to remember that he's coming back. And so we wait. Are you ready? How do you do with waiting? I remember this time of year in particular, lots of memories, of course, but one particular year when I was a little guy, the waiting was extra hard. I had asked for a very special gift. My friends were all using things like this special gift and were having a great time, and I wanted to be able to join them. And I asked. I had to have this gift. And I was certain I was going to get it. It was a 410 shotgun. Now, my friends, most lived on farms. And so they grew up, you know, hunting pheasants and ducks and so forth. And my Uncle Denny did take me a few times. So I think I walked with him. I don't know that I was ever able to carry a gun. But I walked with him hunting, and it was just awesome. And I wanted to be able to join them. And so I asked for a 410 shotgun. I knew I was going to get it. I told you last year a little bit about our family tradition when I was young of going to my grandpa and grandma's home a day or two before Christmas. And we stayed there a couple of days. And we always were able to get up in the morning, my brother and I, and open up just our Santa stuff, but nothing else. And so, you know, as I got older, this got a lot more difficult because I was able to beat the sleep. And so this night in particular, I don't think I ever slept. I was tossing and turning and waiting. I couldn't wait for that next day. And finally that light came on, probably 5 o'clock in the morning. My grandpa was an early riser, farmer. And we tore down and opened up our stuff, but again, that's not what I was waiting for. And this is when the real difficult part of waiting began. Because we weren't able to get into any of the other stuff, the good gifts, until after church. And most times, not even until after dinner, the meal at noon. The waiting was painful. Finally, though, the time came, and we got to open up presents. And I remember tearing through gifts and expectantly opening things up, and the shape didn't look right, and the size was wrong, and all, and on, and on, and I never got it. I never got my 410 shotgun. You remember the movie A Christmas Story? Little Ralphie and his Red Ryder BB gun? I lived that, real, years before that movie ever came out. And I bet maybe some of you did too. Finally, my Uncle Denny grabbed something from under the tree, a little box. Said, wait a minute, we got an extra one here for Fran. And he brought me this present, and I opened it up. Well, before I opened it, I was thinking, what good is this little box? More candy or something useless. It was a box of shells, 410 ammunition for a 410 shotgun. And again, I was deflated. I thought, this is like putting salt in a wound. What good are these? Of course, everybody was laughing at me at my expense. And But eventually, somebody brought a long box, big box, that had the gun in it. I got my .410 shotgun. The waiting all paid off. It was incredible. And you know, it's not that I really did a lot of actual shooting of things. I don't remember shooting anything, honestly, other than targets and stuff, but it's just what it represented. You know, the freedom to get out and walk the fence lines and hold my own gun. It was just awesome. And I think we still have that gun, actually. I think my folks have it at their home. Lots of great memories. When we think about the people of God today and our readings and the readings that we will have now and leading up all through Lent, leading up to Christmas, you know, the people of God were waiting. They were waiting for centuries. They were waiting for God to restore the kingdom. Frequently, God spoke to his people through the prophets. He told them, "Be ready. Repent. Turn back from your sinful ways. I'm going to send a greater King David. In fact, I'm going to send my own son. Be ready." So that's where we are today. Matthew tells us now about John the Baptist. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him." The people had been waiting and waiting. "Repent. The kingdom of heaven has come near." It's time. I found this quote in my preparation for this message. Great quote. Over 1,000 years earlier, the people of God had crossed the Jordan into the promised land. Now, they had to go through the river again as a sign that they were getting ready for a greater conquest. God's defeat of all evil and the establishment of his kingdom on earth as in heaven. God broke into human history through Jesus. He began restoring all things through Jesus. It was all foretold by the prophets and their continual telling people to be ready. Be ready in your waiting. I'm coming. The letter to the Hebrews, the New Testament letter, starts this way. "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, who he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he inherited is superior to theirs." The writer to the Hebrews is telling the people, this is your story too. God told the prophets to tell the people of God that they were part of the story. I'm sending my son. Be ready. And he came. The writer of the Hebrews is saying, you too are part of this story. This Jesus came and did what he was supposed to do and purified people. He opened the way for us, reestablished that relationship with the Heavenly Father, and he's seated in glory on the throne. You're part of the story. We're hearing today that we too are part of this story. Because Jesus is ruling and reigning, there's no doubt. But he's coming back. That's what we hear in the scriptures. This is our story too. We are to be ready. But as we talked last week, our ready, being ready and waiting, isn't a posture of defensiveness. It's to be a posture of action. Being the church out in the world. First of all, calling each other, fellow believers, to be ready. To get busy. Don't just wait. Be active and full of action, serving and loving others. But then also we have that same call as John the Baptist and all the prophets to tell people who don't know Jesus, be ready. This is the true meaning of Christmas. God sent his Son. And this is what he did for you. But he's coming back. He promised to return. Be ready. Do you find yourself here at Mount Hope and in your life, your daily life, and our mission here together? Do you find yourself living with excited expectation as you wait? Do you find yourself living with the excitement of a grade school boy who's waiting for that 410 shotgun with eager anticipation? Do you approach your life here and your life in the Lord with that same excitement, that same passion? I don't. I have to admit. I believe these readings are calling us back to that excitement of waiting. But that excitement of serving and living as we're being ready, loving the Lord God above everything and loving our neighbors as ourselves, living with passion every single day. I don't think I've referenced this book yet. I read a book a couple months ago now, and I don't think referenced it because it's troubling. It's a troubling book, and I'm, like I said, wrestling with it and using it in my private time, devotion, and so forth. But it's a book that's challenging to the church. It's challenging to the people of God. It's written by a pastor and author named David Platt. And here's the title of the book. Something Needs to Change. A call to make your life count in a world of urgent need. This is a world of urgent need. And you don't need me to tell you that. But we're to be busy in our waiting. Busy serving. I want to close with two paragraphs from this book. And as I said, I think it's challenging, but I believe it's good words for us to ponder during our time of waiting. The author writes, "So I challenge you in the church of which you are a part to open your Bible with fellow Christians and put everything in the church on the table. Ask God what is most important to him in a world of urgent spiritual and physical need, right around you and all around the world. Then pray together." This is a prayer he says he prays with his church that he pastors frequently. It's a troubling prayer, I think. But here it is. "God, we will do whatever you want us to do with all you have given us." Then he explains it with these words. "If that means selling our building, we will do it. If that means eliminating every program, we will do it. If that means totally rearranging our budget, we will do it. Because We want your gospel to spread more than we want our traditions to keep. And we want your hope to be known, experienced, and enjoyed in a needy world more than we want our comforts in the church. What a prayer. I pray that that's our prayer as we wait. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We'll receive our